Jimmy's right. There ain't no second price. That's the song they'll be pumping up in the rooms. That's a pre-grand final song if I've ever heard one in the rooms, remember? There ain't no second price. He's not listening at all, is
can
he?
Can we have a...
oh, it's a great song.
No, you're not listening. You weren't even listening. You're paying attention to your phone, can we? Which is very rude.
Exactly. Someone else I know. Can we have, like, rather than a rock out this week, can we have, like, grand final songs?
Like a pump up.
Yeah.
Grand final
well,
pump up.
Well, it could be anything. Could get some Greg Champion happening or some Mike Brady or just have a football song. Can we do that?
Why can we have the grand final? What's happened to the grand final marathon?
Is that not, like, does that not happen anymore?
Well, Fox have been showing the greatest grand finals over the last week.
Yeah, but what about the free-to-air grand final marathon? It's a stay up all night as a kid.
I just want Paul Salmon and friends.
Paul Salmon and friends.
Paul Salmon just wants Paul Salmon and friends too.
Richard Osman comes with some pizzas.
That was an unacceptable activity, that was. Unacceptable. Hey, we've got a very special guest on the line. We'll waffle later on at 21-8. Sam Reid has been good enough to join us. Finishing his career with the Greater Western Sydney Giants this year. It's been an amazing career. 12 years, 9 months it took him. 4 listings, 2 clubs, 1 retirement to get to 100 games. It's one of the great stories in footy, I reckon, and I'm keen to have a chat to him about what it's been for him to this point. He joins us on the line. Sam, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, pal. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, buddy. Nice to have you with us. It's been some sort of journey. Now, your story is well told, but as we get to this stage where it might be over, Sam, you might be able to give us a bit more indication about what that looks like going forward. Can you sum it up? Can you sum it up what you've been through in the last 12 years to get to this point?
Oh, a roller coaster, I suppose. Oh, it's been, yeah, about ups and downs, and there's been plenty there, but I don't think I'd change my story except sort of change the grand final we played in 2019. I wish that went a bit better, but how I got to 100 games, and this year was a very proud moment to get to that. There's stages there. Plenty of stages there. I never thought I'd get there. So it was a big achievement for myself, my family, and to get to that against North Melbourne, and then, albeit my story, it was a bloody draw. So that just added to it, which is good.
Sam, Jimmy here. Congratulations on everything you've achieved. And we're talking about your story, but another part of your story that probably a lot of people don't know is you've done it all with type 1 diabetes as well. The struggle to find out what best fits to get you prepared for AFL footy, with type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, and because it's not you can't see me walking around with it, and it's sort of like a quiet disease, not many people do know, and probably took me 6 or 7 years of really trying to figure out my body in terms of what worked early on. It would take me days to recover from games, and I had to change my diet a lot and really target hydration and all that type of thing, so I would recover quicker than what I was when I first got diagnosed. And then the other side is the insulin is a steroid, so I'll just go into a weight room and look at a weight and put on weight. I'd fluctuate 4 or 5 kilos in a week.
Depending
on what I'd eat and how much insulin I had that week, and if for some reason I needed to get a cortisone or something like that, over that 2 week period, I'd probably put on 7 kilos just because I was having more insulin, which is which is tough to deal with. Some games, and I'm playing on small high half forwards, and I've got 22 kilos on them. It's not great going in like that.
Sam, this will sound like a strange question because you didn't get diagnosed until you actually had an AFL club. I think your second year at the Dogs. I don't know what you were like before that, but did it sharpen your focus on all those little one percenters to help you make an AFL career?
Yeah, it did. I was hardworking, but I'd say it now, but I was a pretty loose unit. I used to like going out and having a good time. So it did sharpen that. It made me a lot more professional and made me grow up a lot quicker. I was 20 when I got diagnosed. I just had a groin reconstruction, so the initial whack of thinking that I'd never be able to play was I'd never heard of type 1 diabetes. I didn't know what it was. The club was really good. Jakey Landsberger was amazing for me, and Gary Zimmerman down there. So I had really good support, but they gave me 4 to 6 weeks off just to try and get into a routine and adjust to my new life, because there's no getting rid of it. So, they were very good, but it did make me a lot more professional and aware of what my body was doing and what I needed.
Just on a lighter note, did you have a draft party every time you got redrafted?
Yeah, I did. The missus on too happy that we're having them every year for like. We had a sacking party and a draft party. It was good.
You'd be non-stop partied, your ass.
Yeah, well, I was just getting out of control.
So, Sam, then talking about that and having the fun of the draft parties, but how special was it to play your 100th game? I think it was celebrated unbelievably through the media throughout the week of that 100th game. But to you, did it give you a chance to reflect on all those delistings and redraftings and what you had to go through to make it as an AFL footballer? Because I think a lot of people just see footballers get out on the field every week and people go, oh, it's easy. You know, they're playing AFL football. But for you, it took so long and so much effort to get to 100 games.
Yeah, it did. It was a bit of carry on for someone who's played 100 games. But I did lap it up. I don't really like to do too much media and stuff like that, but I did enjoy the week and took it all on board, and I was lucky enough to get my family down there in the times that we are, and it was good to have them in the rooms before the game, which was awesome to celebrate with them. We didn't think they would get down there, so they've been on the journey the whole time with me to have them there and to celebrate, and it was good. And I did reflect on it a bit that week. I wrote in a journal about the emotions I was feeling and all that type of thing, so that'd be something that I look back on and probably give me son Elijah. Well, hopefully take some inspiration from it or something like that. But it was a big week. It was an emotional week.
So you talk about the journal writing. Is that something that is new, or you've done that for a long time now? One, why do you do it? And then probably the second part of the question is, do you pass these messages on to younger teammates? Because I believe if you're not playing football, there's still a lot of aspiration to be involved in AFL football in a welfare role.
Yeah, definitely there is aspiration to that. I think the guys that come in these days have really switched on and in touch with their emotions. I think it's the younger generation now. Back in the day when I first started, it was don't feel anything, just go out there and don't complain. And now it is sort of say what you're feeling and speak how you're feeling, and guys are there to help, especially with mental health and mental awareness in football clubs. It's become a big thing. So I know a lot of guys that are at the Giants write in journals and have goals that they set out every morning when they get to the club, and they just keep their little journal in the locker. And I think it just helps with what they want to achieve and how they're going to get there. And you can really reflect on yourself and know how you're actually going. I think you can look at yourself sometimes and think you're going a bit better and you don't have the self-awareness. But, especially at the Giants, I'm not too sure about other clubs but at the moment. But if I did end up somewhere, I think it's a really good tool to use to self-reflect and know how you're going so you don't get too far ahead of yourself or you don't think you're going better than what you are.
So, Sam, what will you do next? Because you're 31, 32 yep. in November. You played 15 games this year and played a specific role in the Giants team. So while the stat numbers weren't high, you did play a particular role and played it well. I must confess, I'm surprised that you're not still at the Giants next year. Will you go and try and go again or stay in development? What will you do?
Yeah, my initial plan is talking to my manager. I have to try and play somewhere. I've got the competitiveness and the drive, and my body's in really good shape to try and go around again. And that's something that I really want to do. I don't think my career is over yet. Hopefully someone wants to take a punt or can see an opportunity for me to play sort of that shutdown role and do it well, because I think that I do it really well. If that doesn't pan out, I'm looking into the development and welfare roles, and I did that in 2013-14. I paired the two up together and played and coached and did the development stuff, which I actually find really it's actually really good to do, because you're out there developing the guys and actually on the ground, and you give direct feedback and you're training with them as well. So we might throw that around, but yeah, I really want to stay in the AFL system, and I I think I've got a fair bit to give in that sort of area. So my initial thing is to try and play again. But if that doesn't pan out, yeah, I'd love to get into development and welfare.
Is there interest at the moment from a couple of clubs or any clubs?
Oh, Bagging turns his phone off on the weekend. I've just sort of left it to him. I've had a couple of chats, but as I know more than anyone, until you sort of sign the dotted line or something's in writing, there's nothing over the line yet. So I don't want to get my hopes up, but we're having a couple of chats and we'll see where they go.
We've shown a pretty good knack to be able to just make things happen and keep things rolling on pretty well through your journey, mate. And hopefully there is another opportunity because that means another draft party, and that's pretty cool. You
know? I'll invite everyone to this.
We'd love to come and be a part of it, mate. It's been a great story so far, and hopefully for you, there are more stories to tell in the coming years. Appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy a bit of downtime anyway.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Good stuff. Sam Reed with us from the Giants. It's been an amazing career. 108 games over 13 years. He played 10 at the Bulldogs in the first 4 years. He played all 26 in 2019 for the Giants in their grand final year, which was a huge effort. As you mentioned, would like to have perhaps reversed the outcome, but not to be on that one. But it's been an amazing story. What about putting on 7 kegs in a week? That's like Easter.
So pretty normal for me. But I think the interesting thing about him is he talked about 13 and 14. That was when his sort of career was finished.
He retired in the
23. That's right. And then we're talking about potentially going on in 2022.
Yeah, it's quite a story.
Yeah. 15 games, Jimmy. I mean, you obviously watch the Giants closely as footy director. Playing a specific shutdown role as that defensive forward, I would imagine that wouldn't have been an easy decision to let Sam go.
No, a difficult decision. We've got some emerging young backs, as you've seen quite a few of them come in as well. So, yeah, fantastic person too around the footy club as well. And that's why he always kept getting redrafted, I guess, because he always prepared himself really well and a good quality person.
Why do you hate him, Jim? Oh, don't answer that. Just being nasty. 9 to 8, we need to get to a break. I've got a couple of things for you after the break, Jim, that I want to ask you. Jane Wines, Ollie's mum, the Brownlow medalist mum, if you don't mind. Don't think she'd mind being called Ollie's mum today after he won the Brownlow last night. She's going to join us after 8 o'clock. I'm looking forward to chatting to Jane, see how the family's feeling up there at Echuca when their boys announce the best player in the country. But there's some news. Well, out of Jets of Geelong, really, across the weekend, which I'm keen to get Jimmy's take on from a coaching perspective and perhaps an administrative perspective as well. We'll talk about it after this.